morning, everybody, first of all. I have the privilege to be able to present the Word of God with you guys today, and by all means, it is a privilege, but I do want to let you guys know in my mindset that it is a responsibility, because when I'm dealing with the Word of God, it is dealing with a Word that does not come from man, but from the one that we serve. And so when I come before you guys to preach this word, it's my responsibility to not preach it from Vinnie Gilbert's mouth, but to submit my tongue to the Lord so that the Spirit can work through me. And so today I come before you, before I come with the word of God, with 1 Corinthians 2, for Paul said, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. And so when I preach today, I don't want you guys to think that I'm preaching with well-planned out, wise-thought words of Vinnie Gilbert. I'm preaching with words that have been given to me from God the Father, so the glory cannot be on my lips, but the glory can be on His lips. Amen? And so, I pray that this is a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's wisdom forever. Because if you guys listen to my words, and if you listen to my wisdom, I'll always fail you, for I am nothing but a mere man. And so I pray today that when you guys hear me, you see God the Father speaking through me, you see His Spirit working through me, and you don't see Vinnie Gilbert on this stage. For we are living in a time right now where there are many deceptive words out there. With the spread and streamline of social media, news, technology, we live in a world where we are feeding off of human words. We are feeding off of words that do not build us up, that do not bring life to us. I pray for a movement where we stop scrolling and open the Word of God. I pray for a movement where we turn the TV off and we pray with our children. We pray over the Word of God. Because right now we live in a time where there are many going out calling on the name of Jesus but not representing the gospel. There are many people going out claiming to be in the name of the Messiah while also claiming to be in the name of Muhammad. We serve one true God. He is the Son of Man, the King of Kings, and the ruler of heaven and earth. We'll get into a little bit more of what that means today. But it's just heavy on my spirit that in this time we grow in discernment. We learn from the Holy Spirit what it's like to be discerning. Because if we're always living off of news, if we're always living off of podcasts, if we're always living off of YouTube videos, we're open to the deception of human man. But the Word of God is all that we need to sustain our lives. We need nothing else except the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. But human man is open to change. Our words, mankind words, is open to changing day after day after day, and we are human and we are flesh, and our flesh will fail, but the Spirit is willing. So I pray, church, that we learn what it is to grow in discernment, so that when we hear something, we go to the Word of God, we test it to the Word of God, and we say, that is not from God. I am casting that out of my house. That is not from God. My family will not grow up listening to these words. I pray that we grow in that gift of discernment, and I pray that we learn why it is important today to be discerning in this time, in this generation of deception, in this time where the Holy Spirit is pouring His heart. He's pouring His Spirit out over the generation. But there's also a divide happening where the evil is not hiding. Evil is not ashamed anymore. Evil is not, it's not, you know, trying to be sneaky and sneak in, and they are representing themselves out. They're unashamed of the evil that they have. We read in the Bible that good will be called evil, evil will be called good, and we see that we are living in a time where this is happening, and we are living in a place where we have the gift of serving our God, but we also live in a place that serves and gives their worship to false deities. Matthew 4, Jesus goes out into the wilderness to get tempted by Satan, and Satan quotes the Word of God to the Word of God Himself, Jesus Christ. And what we can learn from that is not everybody who speaks the Word of God is of God. And so we must learn what it is to grow in the gift of discernment. We must learn what it is to submit ourselves so the Holy Spirit can communicate the message when there's a generation who is being deceived by the enemy's schemes, by his cunning words, and by his fallen angels that have joined with him. So today we'll be reading in Psalm 82, which is page 517 in your Bibles. or one click away on your Bible app. This message that God has put on my heart is not easy, but it is important. Verse 1, God presides in the great assembly. He renders judgment among the gods. How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. The gods know nothing. They understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High. But you will die like mere mortals. You will fall like every other ruler. Rise up, O God. Judge the earth. For all the nations are your inheritance. Let's open with prayer. Father, we come before you today humble to be able to be servants of you. Father, I pray that when I am representing your word today, I do not misrepresent your word. I pray, Father, that we cultivate a congregation of people who are so in the word that if I do misrepresent the word, somebody stands up and corrects. Father, I pray that my tongue can be submitted to you today, that your spirit can be alive and vibrant and anoint me in this place to be in the position to be able to preach your word, for my flesh is weak and it will always fail me. I pray, Father, that we can learn and grow in the awe and the fear of you, Father, for you are the Son of Man, you are the King of Kings, and you are the ruler of heaven and earth. I pray, Lord, that I will not be afraid to communicate the important message that we need to hear in this time. I pray, Father, that in your name you will rebuke any spirit of fear. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that it cannot overcome me, and I can present the gospel in a way that will draw those close to you, in a way that will show how the deceiving ways of the enemy presents something as beautiful, presents something as the way and the purpose to life. But your light will shine so bright that it will shine and call people back to you, call people to their first love, which is you, and it will call people out of the darkness that we may have been participating in and not even knowing that we're participating in. I pray, Father, that you allow me to set myself aside so that people do not see me on this stage, but they see you working through me. I ask these things in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So many of you probably have not heard this psalm before, or if you have heard of this psalm before, you probably don't understand what this psalm is trying to communicate, what it's trying to mean. And we cannot go away from the point that a psalm in the book of Psalms is meant to drive a deeper understanding and a deeper heart of worship for the God that we serve. A psalm is meant to teach us to grow in reverence and honor and worship of the God that we serve. And we see in this beginning, God presides in the great assembly. He renders judgment among the gods. We see in the beginning that there's this divine courtroom, divine council scene where God the Father is sitting amongst his creation. He is the one to be honored and worshiped. Now, I know many of you might be thinking, what is this word, renders judgment amongst the gods? I thought we serve one God. Is the Bible teaching us that there's more than one God? You see, in the original language, that word gods is actually Elohim. And what this word means is rulers, divine beings, creation from gods. So I submit to you to read this from a lens of one creator and many creations. For we know that the Bible speaks of angels, and we know that angels do not deserve worship, and we know that angels are not gods, but they are creations of God. And so when this passage is speaking about rendering judgment amongst the gods. He is speaking about rendering judgment amongst the beings that he created from himself, who had a purpose and they had a position, but they chose to go their own way. You see, in the beginning, God created this beautiful divine family. And Pastor Tom was speaking a little bit about today, these seraphim, where they have wings and they're these amazing creations, and the cherubim, and they're guarding the throne room of God. And the Revelation talks about elders that are sitting around the throne and all of these beasts that are before the throne of God giving him worship. And so there's so many beings that God has created in the beginning that are so wonderful. And when this word is talking about that, it is simply talking about that divine family of God. So when you read that word God, do not think that the Bible is polytheistic. Do not think the Bible is teaching that there are more than one God, for we know there is only one God, and that God is Jesus Christ, that God is one with the Father. But we can't ignore that this psalm is in the Bible. And we see that there's this interesting theme where God is presiding judgment. Sorry, he is rendering judgment amongst these beings who have turned away. And you see, we can actually turn to Psalm 89 real quick, and we read on verse 8, it says, "Among the gods there is no one like you. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made." Sorry, that's Psalm 87. My apologies. Psalm 89, it says, "The heavens praise your wonders, Lord. Your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones." So we get this divine council scene again where God is in the assembly of the holy ones. And it specifies for us, "For who in the skies above you can compare with the Lord? Who like God? Who among God is like the Lord?" Sorry, "Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings?" And so we see that it's saying in the skies, in this divine council, who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. "Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you." So we get presented this scene in Psalm 82, that God is residing in this divine council with these other beings, and he's rendering judgment amongst the heavenly beings who have turned away from their initial call. And if you guys know, the angels, these beings that God's created, were meant to get decrees from the Lord to go and communicate his message on this earth. And so God sits on the throne in heaven and communicates and decrees to his angels his message so that it is presented on the earth. But you see, some of those angels, some of those beings chose to take that position, follow the way of Lucifer, and misuse their power. My heart today is to free any of us from possibly being under the influence or the oppression of those beings, those powers, and those principalities that have gone a separate way. Because church, they have snuck into this world. They have snuck into this society. They have power, right? Ephesians talks about how the enemy is the power of the prince of this air. We cannot see it, but they are there. The spiritual world is real, and it is acting amongst us. And we see this manifesting in the ways of the world, how it is right now. All the division, all the hate, all of the just talk of people like just departing from one another. This is all in Psalm 82, the foundations of the earth are shaken. This is all an experience of a thing we are seeing manifest in the physical world, but that is happening in the spiritual realm. And so church, in America, we have the freedom to serve God. And that is a blessing. But what comes with this freedom of religion is the fact that our society is lifting up their worship to these false deities that the Bible was talking about so long ago. You see, we live in an area where day after day after day, the Olympics last year, I believe, right? Last year in France. You see, the opening ceremony, one of the most watched sports events, is a mockery of the Lord's Supper and the opening ceremony. And some people go, no, it wasn't the Lord's Supper. It was the Feast of Dionysius, which is, by the way, the god of wine and fertility. And so whether it was a mockery of the Lord's Supper or whether it was this feast, we see that on TV, on one of the most watched events, we are committing our worship in America to false deities and beings because they are real, they are alive, but we will learn that we do not have to fear these beings. But we do need to understand that they are acting, they are trying to come against us, and we need to be on guard. We need to stand firm in the faith, and we need to be prepared. Paul wrote about it, in the day of evil, we are living in that day. And we see, we see with all of the people that society elevates, and I see this because, I have the privilege of working with middle schoolers, high school kids, college kids, and, well, college young adults, and being able to be mentored by elders who are older than me. And so God has placed me in a position where I'm able to see all of the generations. And you see, we're experiencing this epidemic right now, especially growing up in the younger generation, where our kids are being freely, whether it's willful ignorance or whether it's just that we don't actually know, and that's why I'm here to communicate the importance of knowing it, but our kids are being handed off into the hands of these beings because, you know, just think about it. In a generation where they did not have the iPhone, where they did not have computers, you would have to go and seek these things out. But now we live in a time where a phone is given to people 8, 10, 13, 14. And what we don't understand is when we give our kids these phones, we're not giving them access to the world, we're giving the world access to them. And I cannot tell you the amount of people, even, and this is how you know how bad the problem is. You guys know how much Holden Christian Academy values committing the children to the way of the Lord. But even some of the kids who go there are talking about these people that I'm going to bring up. And it worries me. It worries me because they're bringing and opening themselves to these beings that the Lord renders judgment, that he will render judgment against. And they're just... You see rates of depression, you see rates of anxiety, you see rates of suicide going up, and that's because we exalt in our society people who are deceived and follow Lucifer. And we know that Lucifer has taken about a third of the angels with him, for he was so glorious that he was able to deceive people who existed with God. Think about that. But now those people are ravaging our children. They're doing it through social media, they're doing it through music, they're doing it through movies, they're doing it through porn. And as I brought up, we see in the Olympics that they're offering the opening ceremonies, starting out in the worship of false deities. Well, I don't know how many of you know the rapper Kendrick Lamar. You see, he wrote a song called Reincarnated. Now, I just want to stop right there. If we have the Holy Spirit and we hear that he's writing a song called Reincarnated, we should stop and be like, that is not going into my soul. Because our ears and music does not need to ask to come into our soul. You could be in the grocery store shopping, not thinking about it, and then you're driving and you're singing a song that was on in the background. And so this music relates to us on a level. It does not ask to come into our soul. And so when we hear a song like Reincarnated, if the Holy Spirit's not ringing your alarm bells, then I'm really concerned. But the problem is, as our children is so young, they don't understand, they're not mature in the spirit. And so they just hear that it's one of the songs that their friends listen to. And it's cool, and he sounds cool. But you see, he wrote a song about being the incarnate Satan in the flesh. Guys, this is what our kids are listening to. I work with them. Even kids at Holden Christian Academy, they're singing Kendrick Lamar songs. He's famous. And a lot of people have phones. He wrote a song about him being Satan in the incarnate flesh. And after Satan has reincarnated himself as different singers throughout the years to deceive the masses, you could go and read the lyrics of the song. This is all in his song. In his song, Reincarnated, he sung, "I rewrote the devil's story just to take our power back." And the entire song was structured as a way to present that Satan deserves mercy from God. Now imagine our kids not being wise enough to think about what they're putting into our ears, singing about Satan reincarnating himself and deceiving the masses. Well, after he wrote that song, our world put him on the biggest sports stage to perform on the Super Bowl halftime show. What song did he open with? This song. We cannot be in willful ignorance to the fact that this is going on. Another famous singer, Doja Cat, wrote a song called Demons. Once again, if you can get past that and still listen to it, she sung about her demons and how they look now that she is becoming famous. She also dressed as a demon in the video who was crawling. I didn't watch it. This is what I heard from her. I will not put this stuff into my spirit. I will not put this stuff into my soul. But from the best that I could get it, she's crawling around a room tormenting someone in a demon costume. And yet she's one of the most popular singers. And I guarantee you, most of your kids know the song that I'm talking about. And she sang about how her demons look now that she is famous. She writes, "I'm a puppet. I'm a sheep. I'm a cash cow. How my demons look now that my pockets are full." She also sings in a song, "Paint the Town Red." She the devil. Trust me, I have magical foresight. I am a demon lord. And I present this to you because this psalm that is talking about the judgment of these gods, this music is being influenced by those demons. And these people who are being exalted, whether it's an actor, whether it's these singers who are being exalted high in our society, these are the people that our children are listening to. She said it herself, "I'm a puppet." Who writes a song singing, "I'm a demon lord"? But guess what? When your kid hears that, he or she is singing, "I'm a demon lord." They don't know. They're too young. I was going to play a compilation of this, but I would not desecrate the house of the Lord with the things that were in this music. But fathers, I present this to you. You guys are the pastors and the spiritual leaders of your household. And when your kids come home and they run to the room and they close their door and they're looking at God knows what and they're listening to God knows what because somebody told you that it was being a helicopter parent to monitor their phone. As the pastor of the household, you're forfeiting your position and you're allowing your kids to slip into the hands of the enemy. Another super famous rapper, XXXTentacion, said, "I spoke to the devil in Miami." He sings about hating himself and then meeting this Baphomet. Once again, I'm pulling just from his lyrics. He said, "I met a Baphomet who says, if you give me your soul, everything you desire will soon be yours." Lil Uzi Vert says, "I sold my soul. You guys are dumb because you who listen to me are coming with me also." He said it in an interview. This is why I started out saying evil is not hiding anymore. As the Spirit of God is pouring his heart and his soul onto this generation, so is not the devil upset that his time is short, and so he is showing his wrath on this earth. And we as people do not want our kids or ourselves to even slip into this deception. I'll go with one more. Lil Nas X, maybe this is a name you guys are more familiar with. No. Well, I'm glad that I, don't shoot, I'm just the messenger, okay? I'm glad that I can present this to you guys, but it is on my heart because I may come in contact with some of your children and they have came to me and they have, whether they know it or not, told me that they love these rappers. He's descended into hell on a pole. I'm not going to say why he was on a pole. You guys can imagine that. With the devil to do a certain dance with him. He also wrote a song where he masqueraded himself as Jesus Christ. The song was called J Christ. It's again, if we're getting past that, what are we doing? Where he mocked communion, mocked the cross, and mocked the gospel. But Vinny, it's not that big of a deal. Vinny, it's just music. Vinny, those things aren't really real. Don't take it so seriously, Vinny. Don't talk about it. Thank you. Thank you. And you see, we now have a generation of young men who have not become men because thinking and singing and acting like that is still boy activity. But these young boys who are in our society who now don't respect women because they're listening to songs that talk about using women just for their body. Listening to rappers glorifying murder, glorifying demons, having, I'm a demon lord, I have magical foresight, she the devil, having that go into their soul constantly. And you guys know when we're up here and we worship God and we sing, that feeling that we get, that unity and that peace where we feel like we are in the presence of the God, Satan perverts that and replicates it. And all of the things we get from worship, they don't get when they're putting this stuff into their soul. And so then people are going, oh my goodness, my daughter all of a sudden needs to be on medication because she's anxious. Yeah, she's listening to someone who is actively worshiping Satan. My son, he's struggling with depression. He hates himself. Yeah, he's listening to a rapper who talks about hating himself but selling his soul to Baphomet to get everything that he wants. Remember, the Bible says that to not be conformed to the patterns of this world is to mean renewing your mind on the Word of God and transforming your mind on the Word of God. But if they're listening to this and they're renewing their mind on the word of Satan, you get all of the spiritual implications manifest, like anxiety, like depression. Then all of a sudden they take all this medication. They're half of the daughter and half of the son that God created them to be. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God comes to give life and life in abundance, but they're not living life in abundance. They're not experiencing the fruits of the Spirit and how amazing the light is, but it's because they have this and they run to their rooms and they sit on this and all of their friends sit on this and they listen and nobody is bold enough to stand up and say, no, 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 I don't care if you guys think I'm a weirdo for saying I'm not going to listen to this. It is more overt than ever before that these people are working for Satan, and we don't want our sons, we don't want our daughters, we don't want us as people to be listening to people who are working for Satan. For that's why I say, stop scrolling, read the word. Turn the TV off, read the word. All we need in this life to sustain us is the word of God. But you see, this also presents itself and a little bit different for even us as adults and young adults. I know young adults, us, we struggle with really trying not to listen to this music too, but you see, because it's not just rappers, it's not just society. You see, deceitful thoughts and patterns weave their way into the church. You see, the spiritual realm doesn't exist. So go and get a tarot reading. The spiritual realm doesn't exist. Consult a medium if you're going through struggles. Maybe some of you don't know that going and consulting a medium, going and getting a tarot card reading is listening to the demons that are speaking into these people's ears to commit their message that Satan wants for you, and not the message that is from people who are listening to the word of God to build you up. All of a sudden, your marriage is falling apart. Your kids hate you. This is all manifestations of these people that God in the divine assembly is rendering judgment among. Don't worry. I know it's doom and gloom. We're going to talk about Jesus in 1 second. Just hold on. Hold on with me, guys. The reason that the word of God says do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be renewed by the transforming of your mind. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind is because we need to meditate not on connecting to the universe, but on the word of God. I stand nothing to gain to say up here, to say mediums, tarot card readings, mysticism is bad. The only reason I'm doing it is because God put it on my heart, because maybe some of us are struggling with that. Maybe some of us are welcoming those things into our lives, and maybe we're seeing some manifestations of that in our lives. But if we claim the name of Jesus over that, none of the enemy's plans can stand. And the reason why it's so sneaky, and this one kind of got me, was it even, and this is what I'm talking about, discernment. Because if we grow in the spirit of discernment, it takes the pressure off of us to know, should we participate in this? Should we not participate in this? Should we listen to this or should we not listen to this? Because if we're testing everything from the... Why do you think it says not every spirit is from God? There's more than just his angels and God. There's demons. There's angels that God created. Oh my goodness. Jude, right here. There's angels. It says... And the angels who did not keep their position of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, those he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment of the great day. Guys, Jude is telling us there are angels who had a commission and they abandoned their position. And now those ones are going to be bound in everlasting judgment. But on this earth, they are wrestling against us. And that word wrestling, I don't know if any of you guys like to watch UFC or anything like that. But that word is they're trying to submit us. Wrestling is a struggle. That's why Paul says... Ephesians 6, that's why Paul says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. And so we have to grow in the spirit of discernment. We have to grow. Because I don't want you guys, they can't take our salvation from us, but I don't want you guys to be allowing them to oppress you and then having manifestations of that ruin your life. We don't want to live like hell on our way to heaven. And this one kind of got me a little bit, but this is how it shows. You know, that word, it goes on to say after that, that it's the enemy's schemes. It also describes in other passages that he's cunning, that he's deceitful. Pastor Gary talked about, he didn't come to Eve and go, I'm Satan. If you listen to me, you'll get cast out of heaven. Eden. He said, did God really say? And he quoted the word of God to the word of God. He was, guys, let's not forget, he was an angel, the greatest, in heaven, before he chose to become overcome with his own pride. So he knows the word. So we need to be in the word. We need to grow in our discernment. And this one, even something like yoga, this is what I'm saying, yoga, it's just stretching. Amen in that. Guys, we can be a church that does our history, right? We can be a church that does our research. Yoga was a practice that stemmed from Eastern mysticism that believes we have seven chakra points on our body. And if we do each of the stretches, we can release this chakra, which is like this snake that gets coiled up. And guess what? Each of the positions that is created in yoga is a position to worship a false deity. But no, guys, it's just stretching. Vinny, no, these things don't exist. Come on, we need to grow in discernment. All of these positions that we're doing, we're worshiping with our bodies false deities, but we don't know. And so I'm here to tell you guys, I'm here to wake the alarm bells up because I don't want you guys to be participating in this stuff. Yoga says, empty your mind. God says, renew your mind. We also live in a day and age where division is detestable. It is abomination to God. But we live in this time that says, if you're black and if I'm white, we hate each other. And our kids, guys, our kids are being taught to look at somebody with a different pigmentation of their skin and say, you oppress them, or you're oppressed by that person. Do we not believe in a Bible that says it doesn't matter what color of the skin you are, we're all children of God? We cannot allow this division to tear the body of Christ apart. We can't do it. We have people like me who are told that no matter how you actually feel, you are an oppressor. And then you have people who have, what, more melanin in their skin than me? And you say, you're oppressed by those people. Meanwhile, the government is intentionally indoctrinating them through the news, through the media, through songs. We hear that. Guys, they promote single fatherness in certain communities. And guess what? When they don't have a father, they look to these rappers. They look to people for their father figure in their life. And then they're told by the narrative of society that your neighbor who has less pigment than you is the reason why you'll never be able to amount to anything. But I believe in a God that says there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no male, there's no female. That we are all one in the name of Jesus. We're all one through the Spirit of Christ himself. And no matter what they say, I say, that's my brother. And Annette says in the meeting, it doesn't matter if you're black, if you're white, we're all washed by the blood of Jesus. We also live in a time, last one. Thank you. We also live in a time where people have confused the gift of life. With the sacrifice of their own children. Oh gosh, this is why he says, rise up, O God, and judge the earth. What? How terrible of a being, of a heavenly being do you have to be to tell a woman that it is her right to take the gift of life that God has given her? But Vinny, it's just a clump of cells. No. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. God knit you together in your mother's womb. It's not just a clump of cells. God is the one who blesses us on this earth with children. But Vinny, it's not that deep. It's not that deep. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. And the only cause of this could be because we don't understand how real the implications of the spiritual realm are on us. If I stood up here and I flicked the coin would come down. Why? You all would say gravity. Where is gravity? You can't see it. Just like gravity enacts on us and we can't see it, so the spiritual forces, the ones who were given power, the angels who have forfeited their positions are acting amongst our society. There's no other world where people could believe that sacrificing your own... Do you not know, reading the Word of God, that there's the spirit of Molech, and the spirit of Molech, the greatest act of worship they could give to him was sacrificing their child. Demons don't die. Not until the very end when they'll be sentenced into eternal judgment. That same spirit is over America today. And we need to preach the unashamed, bold word of God to people to say, as much as the enemy says your career is more than being that mother for your child, you will find more joy in committing your child to the Lord than any career. Because what is it that if you're in a house with a Louis Vuitton bag, with a Lambo, but you're all alone? I think that's enough. What do we do now? What do we do? That we live in this world, that Psalm 82 tells us about these beings that are acting on this world. What do we do? If you guys want to turn to John chapter 10. Before I get into this, if any of you have been participating in the things that I've spoken about, I'm not speaking condemnation over you. I'm not speaking moral superiority over you. I'm speaking the word of God because it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's useful for rebuking, but it's useful for teaching. It's useful for building up of the body. And I don't want you guys... as my family, if it was my, go ahead and ask my parents. We could be watching a Marvel movie. They'll be doing like a seance on it. I'm like, turn it off. So if you guys were a part of my family, I would be like, we're not doing this. We're not watching that. And when you apply this lens, now that you have this lens in life and you go home and you realize the first horror movie that comes on, you're like, oh my goodness. How did I not see this? This movie is literally about a demon possessing somebody. And I'm going and watching that for what? The price of entertainment? And so I'm not speaking out of condemnation, but I'm trying to pull you guys out of that because we have to think about it like this. Our lives are an altar. You see, in the olden days, in the biblical times, in the biblical times, before Christ's Holy Spirit came into this earth, they had to sacrifice animals to atone for their sins. But now, Christ died, he went to prepare a place, and now our body is the new temple for Christ to reside in. And so now that our body is the temple, this goes against what society says, your body, your choice. No. You were bought with a price. Your body is not your own. Your body is now the temple of God. And so if we think about our lives like an altar, then the things that we participate in are the things that our worship goes to. And how, I would use the word cunning to describe an enemy who can trick you into something so like that it doesn't seem so serious, but all of a sudden, on the altar of our lives, we're worshiping false deities. I'll get to it, I promise. Galatians 4, formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. They are there, Paul's not saying that's not a thing. He's saying they are there, but they masquerade as gods. Don't you know that the angel Michael or Gabriel came to Muhammad and spoke to him the Quran? That's a demon. Formerly, when you did not know God, all of us, we were slaves to those who by nature are not God. They present themselves as angels of light. They masquerade as gods, but by nature they are not gods. They are goats sometimes. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? Weak and miserable forces. Because on this earth, they can seem so enticing. On this earth, the power that the enemy offers to us can seem so enticing. But that power is nothing to the power of God. That there's no incantation a witch can speak that can come against the iron dome of prayer and not fall flat to the ground. But he says, how is it that you're turning back to these weak and miserable forces? Do we wish to be enslaved by them again? I bring this up because I want to show you guys the importance of our lives being an altar of worship, and that if we're participating in these things, if we're listening to these things, if we're watching these things, we are committing worship to these false gods who by nature are not gods, and we do not want to invoke the wrath of God in our lives, and we do not want to get to the point where he hardens our heart. We want our heart of stone to turn into a heart of flesh. And so grow. This is why 1 Corinthians 14 says, chase discernment and prophecy. Grow in discernment. So we know that the Holy Spirit rings our alarm bells. I was over somebody's house. I forget who it was with my family. They had young children. They're one of those families who either paused or muted it on commercials. Well, we weren't paying attention. A horror movie came on. Every single person in the room rushed to find the remote and turn it off because their family stood on the word of God and said, I am not opening my children up to what the enemy has to offer through this TV. Let's grow in that. Let's take our families back. Let's monitor what they're doing so our kids are not landing in the grasp of the enemy's hands. John 10, 30. If you guys want to read with me. You see, 29 goes, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. These enemies, these people, not people, these demons and false deities, as much as they think they can snatch us, as much as Lil Uzi Vert, the rapper, thinks, you're a dummy, I'm going to bring you to hell with me. He hasn't met our God, because our God will not allow our children to be snatched into the enemy's hands. But we need to be careful and grow into discernment. He says, no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. But then he says, I and the Father are one. This is Jesus Christ talking. And the people get upset by that, because what he's doing is he's claiming Godship with God the Father in heaven. Again, the Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him, so much so that they believed this was blasphemy because he was claiming to be one with God. But Jesus said, I have shown you many good works from the Father. From which of these do you stone me? They replied, we are not stoning you for any good work, but for blasphemy, because you are a mere man who claims to be God. Now, Jesus referenced this Psalm 82. Is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods? Where do we hear that? We hear that in Psalm 82. I have said you are gods, but you will die like mere men. I have said you are gods. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one who the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy? Because I said I am God's son? So let's not get confused. He is sandwiching a God claim in between a God claim and referencing Psalm 82. Why would he do this? Why is he calling the people who are opposing him gods? Well, if he's saying that they can be gods, why would it make sense with him trying to do this? He's saying, in your own law, it is written, Psalm 82, you recognize that there are mere gods amongst men. And if I'm coming here performing miracles, performing all these works, and you guys, you believe that there can be these Elohim. But he goes further and he says, how about the one whom God sent himself? Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. So we are in this world where there are spiritual powers that come against us. We read in Psalm 82 that God is rendering judgment among those powers. But what does that judgment look like? How can we be taken out of the grasp from the enemy? Because you see, Jesus came onto this earth in John. He came onto this earth to say, I and the Father are one. He's making a claim to be one with God. So what happened was, Jesus understood we could not do it on our own. We were cursed by the law. Galatians says we were cursed by the law. The law was meant there to show us that no man was good, not one except Jesus. So then what happens is, we read in Colossians, Jesus goes and he says, Colossians 2 verse 15, when you were dead in your sins, I'll start it today. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over the cross. What does this mean? It means that God submitted himself in the form of a man to die to us. He was one with the Father, but he limited his power. He came in the flesh as a human man. And he said to the Pharisees, you are looking at the Yahweh that you believe in the flesh, but you do not believe me. So believe my works. But they picked up stones to stone him. And so Jesus went on this journey of pain and misery to die to 15, publicly make a spectacle of the powers triumphing over them by the cross. You are all gods, but you will die like mere men. When Christ died on the cross, he stole the power that the enemy had over us. Gosh. I mean, how amazing is that? That God himself. His power in the form of flesh, and he stole the power that the enemy had over us. So what does this mean? If we were listening to those songs, we claim the blood of Jesus over our household. No name can come against the name above all names, okay? Jesus Christ, when he died, not only did he free us from the powers, but he went into heaven to sit and be given his crown. We're going to sing a song. It says the one riding on the crown came before the Ancient of Days, sitting on his throne, and he was given the name above all names. And that God is Jesus Christ. And he was able to do it by sacrificing himself on the cross so that we could have his spirit and not be going back to these weak and miserable forces to, if we were participating in them, claim the name of Jesus. Your kid is not too far gone. Train him up in the way. There's nothing that he could be listening to. There's nothing that could come against the Iron Dome of prayer. Our weapons are not carnal. They're not flesh. But what? They're made mighty in God. Useful for the pulling down of strongholds. There is nothing the enemy could hold against us that could not be taken out by the Word of God. And now we serve a God that one day every knee will bow in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, when he died, all the heavens and the earth were given to him as his inheritance. Pastor Tom read in his last sermon, everything was put under Christ, even death. So that now he is the ruler of heaven. He is the ruler of earth. The Son of Man is now King of Kings. The Son of Man is now the ruler over heaven and earth. And we, oh man, I get fired up when I talk about this. We see, you guys know the story of Legion in the Bible. He was so possessed by demons that nobody would go near him. He was running around naked. Not even chains could bind him up. He was breaking free of everything. But then what happens? Jesus Christ came, he ran and got on his knees and said, are you here to torture me? Because there is no demonic power in this world. There is no Elohim that has turned from the plan of God that can come against God and have victory. We, as the body of Christ, have victory and dominion through the Spirit of Christ over these beings. They can no longer come against our family, but I preach this to you so we can grow in the power of discernment, so we are not invoking the wrath of God by our false worship to false deities who by nature are not gods, who masquerade as gods, but our lives can be submitted to the one who is the King of Kings, the ruler of heaven and earth, and our lives, our worship, our altar, which is our life, can be only set apart for the one who deserves our worship. We serve a warrior king, a just judge, merciful father, who rules above them all. All right. Psalm 82 should drive within us a reverence and understanding, a respect and an awe. It should fix our gaze on Christ. Last thing, you know, we often go through this world and we're promised trials and tribulations. We're never promised to have an easy go at life. But guys, how many of us before today, I know there's some of us, I mean, come on, why do you think Holden Chapel is still here? Do you not know that the elders meet every single day to pray over this place? Annette is up in the room every day. Elaine is walking out with her walking stick, dethroning powers and principalities so that they cannot come against this holy place of Holden Chapel. But I ask you, how many people come in here and thought of God as the one who sits on the throne in heaven, above earth, above all the powers and principalities? And that's really why I gave this message. So we could turn away from worshiping false deities, but so we could also understand the reverence and awe and respect the God, Yahweh, sitting on the throne in heaven deserves. Every time you pray, you are kneeling before the God in heaven on his throne. How much of a beautiful gift is that? That we get to petition the God who is sitting on the throne in heaven, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who is returning soon. How amazing is it that when we close our eyes and we bow our head and we kneel, we are in heaven before him. And he sees us. And his heart is for none of us to turn away. And so as we pray, pray with the mindset that we're kneeling before the God on the throne in heaven. And that he sees that. He's sitting in this divine council amongst all of these beings. And Psalm 89 said, who amongst God is as amazing as he is? And so I found it fitting today for, you know, it's tough because sometimes we get into the rhythm of coming to church and we're so well fed on the love and the grace of God. It's so amazing to serve the God that we serve. But sometimes we're missing that conviction that changes our lives. And I know some of you through the things that I was talking about may have felt that conviction. There's some of you who could be stuck in the addictions and the oppression of the enemy because you didn't know the things you were watching. You didn't know the things you were listening to. We're opening yourselves up to the oppression of these beings. And I just ask, simply ask, if you were in this practice, if you were participating in these things, no emotional manipulation. If you are so sick, you didn't know that you were doing it, but you know that you have the implications manifest of the spiritual into the physical. If you know that that is you and you feel that conviction from Christ, please come up to the altar and get prayed over, because there is no oppression of the enemy. There is no addiction. There is no father who has forfeited his spiritual head of the household who cannot right today get prayed over and go starting tomorrow with a new chapter over their family. And if that's you, if that's none of us, praise God that we have such a blessed congregation. But if that's you who are participating and you feel convicted, don't do it because, oh, Vinny sounded like it sounded good. Do it because you feel conviction. If you want to reset tomorrow, if you want to step into your walk with Christ, where you're no longer serving worship to the altar, with the altar of your life to these false beings, please come forward and the prayer team will come forward. If people come up, if they don't, praise God, we're going to close with this song. But lastly, I can't get out with also believing that if you are in active turning from God, if you are not walking with the Lord, and you want to walk with the Lord, if you don't feel comfortable to come up, I get it. That's okay. But please connect with somebody. If anything that I said convicted you and you need prayer and you need repentance, you need to renounce the things in the name of Jesus. And so I ask, if you don't want to come up, find somebody, find an elder, find Pastor Tom, talk to me, talk to somebody, and we'll pray over you. Because there's no power, there is no name, and there is no God who comes against the Most High God. And that's the one we serve. Amen.